Brothers and sisters, big warm welcome from Mighty United, Carlos Alicos.
Thank you. What an awesome morning. It's really nice to be here in the presence of God. Absolutely love it. I love this whole meeting. I think coming here, it's like the closest I get to heaven, worshiping together, and you just get so close to God. It's awesome to be in the presence of God, to be close to Jesus, isn't it? So why don't we hear what the Lord has to say? Holy Spirit, we come to you now. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for our lives, that you speak to us, that you're so wonderful to us, that you love us. Jesus, thank you for the great example that you are for us, Lord, that you inspire us, Lord Jesus, to give our lives to you, and you help us in our weakness. You help us, Lord, to believe and have faith. You help us in our battle, Lord Jesus. You help us, Lord, in the deepest, inmost places. Thank you, Jesus. We just pray for your encouragement, Lord. Speak to our hearts. It's awesome what has been said all morning. It's what I was going to say anyways. What Keith was sharing about the fight for faith, fighting the facts with the spiritual world. And it's a real fight. I've been really fighting that in my life. Growing up as a Christian and believing and yet struggling to believe. And sometimes having faith almost takes all the strength out of you and humbles you and makes you almost like nothing. Just to believe in Jesus is a great struggle sometimes. It's a fight in the battle, but it's a battle we can win. It's a fight that we can conquer if we see the glory of Jesus and who he is. I'm going to read from Hebrews 12. It's just after Hebrews 11, apparently. And Hebrews 11 is an awesome scripture that I absolutely love. Well, first of all, Hebrews 11 is a praise and a hymn of faith. I bet most of you know it. And through the examples of the great people from the Old Testament, I'm going to read that. I just think somebody actually read the Old Testament and got something out of it and then wrote Hebrews 11. And I think, what do I get out of the Old Testament to write anything like that? But that happens with the Holy Spirit. You know, he can reveal to us many things and stories and treasures of heaven and intrigues of heaven. And the Holy Spirit can make the Bible alive for us and speak to us. The Holy Spirit can make us feel what those people felt when they wrote this thing. You can see into the scripture. You can feel the moment. You can feel those struggles that those disciples went through if you read the Bible with the Holy Spirit, and it can really encourage you. You know, we're really into stories as human beings. We love films and TV series and stories and books, and we're desperate for it. But sometimes people are so desperate for it, they just do these stupid intrigues in films and TV series, and they just never end. Me and Terry have been watching Suits, and if you know, it's just another law series. But in the end, it just gets like daft. The intrigues go up and down, and they're making friends, and then they're arguing, and it's like they're just desperate for intrigue, desperate for a story. But actually, God has it. God's got the awesome story for us. The Holy Spirit got an awesome story for us. You can have a life full of awesome intrigue if you want to live with the Holy Spirit, and that's what really matters. So this is Hebrews 12 now. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Hallelujah. You know, all those people suffered massive things. When you read the Hebrews 11, and those people in the Old Testament, they went through horrible things in their lives. Sometimes it speaks of them being destitute, walking around in sheepskins and goatskins, and forsaken and persecuted, cut in half, tortured. They were too perfect for this world. But something kept them going. And we have many, many witnesses like that who suffered immense things. Paul the Apostle himself suffered immense things, but he kept going because he had a vision of Jesus. You know, as a Christian, you won't go through the whole way, through the race, unless you have a personal revelation of the glory of Jesus. A personal, deep, inner revelation. Otherwise, the cost just won't add up. If you're walking as a Christian for your own cause, for the cause of the church, or the cause of what we can come up with, then there comes a point where it doesn't add up. The cost is too great. But when you see the glory of Jesus, then suddenly those mathematics just drop off. And everything is just worth it. Everything is worth it. That's how these people went the whole way. Even dying was a pleasure. Suffering with Jesus was just such a pleasure because the glory of Jesus is so awesome. That's what happens in worship. Happened to me this morning. I was drowned in the glory of Jesus. He's so awesome. You need a personal encounter with the glory of Jesus by faith. And that's how you do it, by faith. And there's sometimes a deep fight for that faith. I love the film Nacho Libre. Who's seen Nacho Libre? Only a few. Oh, that's going to be hard. Anyways, there's this kid from a monastery who grows up as a monk, but he wants to become a fighter, a luchador, this wrestler. But this religious world that he lives in doesn't allow it. But inside, he's a fighter. So he prays, Lord, can I fight for the orphans and the kids? And he sneaks out and starts fighting in these rings and things with his mate. But they get battered, you know, they just lose. But the people love them. People laugh at them, love them. So the managers get them back to keep fighting. They're like, why do we get paid? Well, we all get paid. And they get paid for losing, and they're fighting, and they lose, and they get paid. And then one morning, Nacho Libre is just sick of it, you know. He sat there in the square, and his friend is bringing him some corn in a stick. Look what I've got. He said, get that corn out of my face. I want to win. I'm sick of getting paid for losing. I want a taste of the glory. And I felt as a Christian like that sometimes. I've been told that we've already won. Yeah? Have you heard that? In Jesus, we have already won. It's true. And no matter if you sin, you're forgiven. But I always lose anyways. I always get battered. I always sin. And I get paid anyways. Okay. That's a circle. And I'm okay. I'll just get used to that. But in the end, there comes a point where you just get sick of getting paid for losing. And I want to win. You know, we can win. We can actually win and overcome. We don't need to just be stuck in sin all our life. Actually, you can win and overcome it. We don't need to be just pushed around from the enemy and be in depression for decades in our life. No, we don't have to. We can if we want to. Many people do, as Christians, just get used to getting paid for losing. How about getting a taste for the glory? Getting a taste for the glory of Jesus. Getting out from where you are and starting to win. Starting to win for Jesus. Because it's possible. You can get addicted to it. You know, you only need to win the battle that's ahead of you right now. You only need to win that battle that comes. God's not going to give you all the battles of your life in one go. But you need to win the battle that comes to you. There's many battles, but they come in intervals and times. But you need to win the one that comes to you. That's what God wants you to do. The next lesson that comes to you, for you to win it. For you to overcome it. So you could get further into Jesus, further into God. But how do we do it? By fixing our eyes on Jesus. So we wouldn't get discouraged and grow weary. You know, when we had a baby, me and Teria, the first baby, Miriam, and I wasn't prepared. We thought we were going to have a home delivery. and just thought, whatever, you know, we'll just do it. Thankfully, that day there wasn't any midwives on call, so we went to the hospital, which was a good thing. Because that was a hard, hard delivery. I mean, three hours in, I was thinking Darius is going to collapse. You know, and it went on for like 12 hours. I think, how long can a woman keep pushing with all of the strength that she's possibly got to not faint? I mean, she goes red, she goes green. I don't want to discourage you, you know. She doesn't remember it. You know, God's grace is in it. You forget about it. But me looking at it, I thought she would die, you know, from just... And it was slow and painful and slow. And you know, they tell you, oh, it's 2 centimeters, whatever, you know, and it needs to be 10. And you think, oh, it's been 3 hours. It's only 2 from 10. It's like, ah, discouraging. And you keep going. And I try to encourage Terry. I keep telling her, you know, you're doing good. It's not going anywhere. You're fine. You can see the head. I can't see now. You're doing good. Push, 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 push. Come on, push. For hours and hours. Push, push, push. In the end, she had to get... loads of doctors came in because it wasn't happening. It wasn't coming out. It wasn't turning. I had to sign things. They were telling us about the risks and things that could happen in the operation. It was just a mess. And finally, I was on my own, putting these blue clothes on, going to the operation room, scared to death. And I thought, that's a moment where I could walk out alone, you know. The flipping heck, God, you know. A real surrender happened in my heart. But anyways, then Drea had an injection in the back. And they had to cut a little bit, and the baby came out. But there was blood, and it was messy. And that was the first baby. And then we went in the hospital for the second baby, for Martha. And I was ready now. I was ready for some action. I bought some... I mean, the first one, I was starving. I didn't bring any lunch. I was starving. I ate Terry's food as well because she wasn't hungry. Praise God. Oh, this is good. I'll get to the point in a minute. I've only got 15 minutes. Anyways, second time, I was ready. I got food. I got books. You know, I got that book actually there. And but in 15 minutes, the baby was out. It took 15 minutes. I was like, what the heck? You know, this is the truth. I was reading, you know, the first page. And they said, oh, it's coming. The head's out. The head's out. You know? Awesome. But the truth is, you know, there was a battle with the first baby. A lot greater than the second one. But that is the truth with Jesus. That is the truth when Jesus took on the world first. When Jesus first came to this planet and he had to fight a fight that we don't have to. He had to make a way through the world. He had to fight the greatest battle of faith, the greatest battle of sin, the greatest battle of temptation. And when he was on the cross and shouted out, oh, Father, why have you forsaken us? You know, we might feel like God's forsaking us, but it's never the truth. It's never the fact. He's always with us. But for Jesus, it was a fact. What Jesus went through to make a way through the world so that he could say to his disciples, look, don't you worry when the world's against you. I have overcome the world. I mean, he was like the first baby. It was almost impossible. It seemed almost impossible to have that delivery. It felt almost impossible to think about Jesus conquering it all, but somehow he did. Now we have a fight ahead of us, but we're only the second baby. We're only going through like blooms, but there is a fight. But for us, the way is made. You know, that's the revelation of Jesus. The way is made. We can have that inspiration from Jesus. We so like to see people fights and boxing and sport people running, and because we like to see people fighting and it inspires us. But how about seeing Jesus fighting? That's all to inspire us, like it says there. He went first. Consider him who went through such opposition from sinful men so that you won't get weary and give up. Consider him. Consider Jesus. I just want to encourage you this morning to fight the battle of faith. Quickly, a story from this awesome book, Narnia, the Silver Chair. I mean, through this book, God really spoke to me. That was something that really, really spoke to my heart. I've only recently discovered the books of Narnia. Does anybody know what Narnia is? Okay, that's good. That's better than actually. But in that book, there's two little kids who go in the world of Narnia. And they start off in a really high mountain. And they look down. And the mountain is so high that they look down on clouds. And it's really high. And there they are with Aslan. You know, in the presence of God, in that sense. They're with Aslan. Aslan gives them orders and what's going to happen and gives them what they need to do, and they hear God. But then they descend into Narnia, and Aslan stole them. Aslan is the picture of Jesus, the great lion in the book. And he's told them, you know, when you go down there, remember what I said, because down there things are going to be a lot more hazy, a lot more complicated, and it won't seem as clear. The air won't be as nice as it is here. You need to remember. And then they descend into Narnia. And they try to remember those things that Aslan said. But in the journey, they go even deeper. They go underground. They're looking for this lost prince. And they need to find this prince they're looking for. And they go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and underground. And underground there, they find this witch and the prince. They save the prince, but they encounter this witch. This queen, this beautiful woman who was queen, but he's actually evil. And on the ground, he starts convincing the people, those kids. And there's a marsh wiggle with them, Puddlegum. Tries to convince them that there's no ground, that there's no sun, there's no sky. Something that seems quite obvious to us, but actually, down there, they haven't seen it for days. And there was a bit of a spell in the air, and a bit of... She was playing this harp and trying to put a spell on them. He was trying to tell them, you know, they were telling her, you know, of course there's a land up there. There's trees, there's sun. And she's like, where? In the moisture of the roof. There in the soil, somewhere there's a ground. Yeah, there's Narnia. No. She says, my world is the only world, the real world. And for some reason, the spell and the smell in this, the music starts to get to their head, and it gets heavy to think. It gets hard to think. Has ever any of you felt this way? It gets hard to think. It's hard to focus on God. It gets hard to focus. And the spell and there's this fire and this green stuff is coming out from the fire. And they need to remember. And then Puddleglum, this marsh wiggle, starts to get annoyed by this witch and tells, no. I've grown up in Narnia. I've been there in the trees, in the sunshine. I know that whatever, you can play that half till your fingers drop off. I'm going to stay by Narnia. And she goes, what do you mean by the sun? What's the sun? Do you mean anything by that word? And one of the kids tries to explain, well, it's like the light, you know, in this room, like the light, only bigger and better. And like, what's the sun? There is no sun. And again, it gets heavy. Oh, is there any sun? Is there any trees? I mean, it's brilliant because it's turned it upside down. And they get struggling to believe, even in the simplest of things. In the end, they try to convince him that there's no Narnia. And Jill, one of the girls, needs to remember something. She feels like, you know, she has to remember something. And then it says, with a breath that almost took all the strength out of her, she says, there's Aslan. There's Aslan. And the witch gets a bit upset, goes, plays a bit quicker. Ooh, what do you mean by that? Well, it's the great lion. What's a lion? And back the same road. Well, it's like a cat, only bigger. See, you're all playing little kids' games. You can't make up anything in your play world that you can't copy from my real world. You say a cat, imagine it bigger. You say a lamp, imagine it bigger. My world is the only world, the real world. And all of them repeat, yes, it's the only world, the real world. Do you see that spell over the world? Do you see the fight for faith? Terry was just saying when she was in university, it was exactly like that. For some reason, as she stepped into that room, saying, I believe in God, was something like something that would take the whole strength out of her just to say that, just to say that word. But in the end, in that story, that marsh wiggle gets so annoyed that he goes and sticks his foot into the fire, and the horrible smell comes out and says, there's one more thing to be said. I bet you're right, there is no Narnia. I bet you're right that this pit of a dungeon is the only world. but I'm going to stay by the side of Nina. Because if this pits of a kingdom is the only world, then it strikes me as a pretty poor one. And if we are just four kids playing a game, then our play world licks your real world up hollow. And the fight in him to stand by the side, to stand in faith, that's a real fight. You know, and we've just been working with Laurie. Laurie mentioned me one day. In the end, you just have to decide to believe. Don't you, Carl? And I said, yep, I think so. You just have to decide. I'm going to stay by the side of Jesus. That was actually my half of this morning to share. It's only a short message, but to remember the fight for faith, it's a real fight, an inner fight. But keeping your eyes on Jesus and focusing on him, because we all go down through great valleys and our faith gets tested, but it gets better as it gets tested. But we can win those fights. And as we win it, something better comes. We get to the next level. Our faith gets more pure. We get closer to Jesus. But we need to start winning. I mean, we can't stay in the same depression for 10 years. You cannot. You need to win it. You cannot stay in the same pit for years and years and years because you cannot get out of it. And the other thing is having faith. It's not easy. I'm only preaching to this side. Why don't you come to this side for a while? It's not easy having faith always, but it matters. Remember what God's spoken to you in this revival that's coming. Remember what God speaks to you now. Hold on to it tight. Because the enemy wants to extinguish everything that's been said. And when we're on our own and leave this place, the real fight starts and the world comes on. And the enemy says, my world's the only world, the real world. Like Keith was sharing, the facts and the truth are apart. But you can make a decision in your heart. Well, I'm going to stand by Jesus. Even if I can't see him, I'm going to believe in him. Even if I haven't seen any miracles for decades, I'm going to believe in miracles because I know they happened when Jesus was on earth. I can believe in that. I'm going to believe in miracles. When I was in Estonia, it was really hard to believe in miracles because suddenly being around a different environment and family, and Terje's family was not Christians, believing becomes so heavy. Why can't I just believe and the fight in me? And I thought, it's like the flesh is just so anti towards believing. It just humbles you right down to the ground to have faith like a little kid. It makes you like the least of everybody because you can look down on you. Oh, your little kid's playing a game. Look at your little play world. You're just making it up, copying everything. That's what it makes you feel. The enemy is clever, you see. He convinces you that you're... But actually, if you think about those kids in the down there in the ground, how obvious that there was a real world. If you look at this world, how obvious that there's a God. And somehow enemies put a spell over it all. But we can win it. When we focus on Jesus and decide we're going to stand on his side, we're going to believe in him. We're going to believe in him. We're going to believe in Jesus. For me, it was a big battle starting to believe in healings. I knew they were real. I knew they happened. But for some reason, I could not get myself to believe them. I always thought, when I am dead, the miracle is not going to happen. When I am praying for that person, I always felt like I'm sinking through the ground. And it's always defeating me. You're always defeating me. Why can't I just get over it? Till I had to just decide, okay, I'm going to believe in healings. I've never seen one. Well, I thought I hadn't. It could be a lie. Probably is. But the enemy's convinced me that I've never seen any healings. It's convinced me that every time it's been a trick. Till a point comes where you have to surrender and decide, well, actually, I'm going to believe in those miracles. Whether I see them or not, I'm going to believe in the coming revival. Whatever people have said about it. Because I know God has a plan for this earth and it's not finished yet. He's got good things stored up in heaven that are yet to come. The best bit is yet to come, Lord. The story is not over. God's plan for this is not over yet. It's yet to come. But it's really important we become people of faith who see the glory like Jesus saw the joy ahead of him when he endured the cross. You won't be able to endure the battles ahead of you unless you see the glory of Jesus. When you have a personal revelation of who he is, that keeps you through everything, nothing else. If you have a personal revelation of Jesus, that will keep you going. Brothers and sisters, it's time to give ourselves to God, to believe in Him, to get full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, for something awesome is coming. When we were in this prayer meeting on Wednesday, some incredible words. There was prophesied about a flock of birds coming. And I think it's about the conference. A flock of doves coming and landing in this church. And it just represents of the Holy Spirit coming like all over, not just one bird. So get ready for the conference as well. Will you prepare yourself? Because no matter how much we want God, we always get empty and we need to get on fire. That's what I feel. Working and working and working and not always preaching, not always doing awesome things. But we need to keep focusing on Jesus. And will you get ready for this conference that's coming? Because God wants to really bless us. There's going to be a flock of doves landing on this place. And we need that. We need to get a personal revelation of Jesus so we could live awesome life for God. Then we can pay the cost and suffer for Him and give up everything, which is actually an awesome thing to do. And then we can do it. The other picture was about this heating system. I just want to share it that you all know it. If you look at those holes in the heating system, and every now and then the air blows in and it all goes, I bet you all heard it. But I just thought about building, you know, and preparing. It's like building this system and there's nothing blowing in it. But you're opening the little doors and putting those holes in place for when the Holy Spirit comes and blows. But make sure you're one of those holes, that you're in place in God's plan, that you're available to Him, that you're moving with Him. And then when it comes, it's like building this church. It's often dry work from what I've seen and heard. It's often just work. But building is like building that system for God. It's putting it in place. Not just for the system. That would be pointless. That's our cause. For the glory of Jesus. For His glory we're building this church. For His glory we want to have 1,000 people. Not just 1,000 people. We would not be able to go through these battles just to have a vision of 1,000 people. No. Our vision is the glory of Jesus. And then whatever battle comes, it'll be enough. The glory of Jesus. The glory of Jesus. When the air blows in, every one of these holes will blow in air. That's preparing yourself. That's building, sowing in a kingdom. Whether you're close to God or not, whether you feel it or not, whether you're up on the hill or you're down there in the deepest dungeon and you just have to believe and decide to believe, it all matters. It's preparing for what's coming and you will be rewarded for that. Hallelujah.